Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are in the home stretch of their AAC schedule. The Grizzlies are on their way to maybe, just maybe, making the NBA playoffs in Ja Morant's second season. Lots of interesting games to watch nearly every night. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy these games while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight, and it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. New Amsterdam Spirits.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. I was flying. Yeah, running.
Memphis, Jason, can you go from an unprecedented generational snowstorm 1 week to being in a tornado watch the next week?
It's true.
I think that's pretty fair to say. Like, I don't know if there's a place in the world, perhaps, that experiences the climate that Memphis can experience in a given week. And unfortunately, what that can mean, it can just do a number on your roof, man. It can just absolutely do a number on your roof when this happens, all that precipitation. So if you are one of those unlucky folks that have seen a leak or precipitation or water damage to your roof or whatever the case may be, it may feel like you're down bad right now, but you're not, because we got the solution. His name is Chris McCulley of McCulley Roofing and Renovations. He's going to come out. He's going to assess the damage. He's going to work with your insurance. And when he comes out, make sure you mention you heard about him on the Jason and John Show. You get a free roofing upgrade.
That's big. Mention Jason and John, you're going to get something for free. We all could use something for free, especially a free roofing upgrade. You can make that call, 487-7096. You can check out the five-star reviews. You want to do your homework, go to Facebook. Check them out. McCulley Roofing and Renovation, voted most popular roofing company by Memphis Most. You're not going to find anybody better on the job than Chris McCulley. 487-7096. It's McCulley Roofing and Renovation.
By the way, in the announcement, it's such a J.J. Watt announcement. I get the sense that J.J. Watt is a guy who takes himself very seriously. Maybe he's not. Maybe it's like a front. I don't know. But his announcement was, first of all, he said, source me. And it's him doing squats with an Arizona Cardinals shirt on. Like, it's just a picture of him looking super intense.
Yeah.
He's doing squats.
You're about to get this, Arizona.
Source me. I am going to have 3 sacks next year.
I kind of like J.J. Watt.
He is so.
I love him.
He is so John Cena to me.
He is very John Cena-ish.
I just.
Or he wants to be John Cena.
I love it. I love that. Here, I'm the source, and here's where I'm going.
I don't have a problem with you breaking your own news, man. But look at, like, he looks like a clown, bro. He's got a toboggan on. He's like, here, take this.
I'd be his clown.
Take this picture.
To that point, takes himself too seriously.
Yes.
Now, J.J. Watt's been, done a ton for Texas,
yes.
And we get all
that's
that.
That's right. That's
raised
true.
Millions, and
that's
it should
true.
Be said. Yeah. He's a great person, a human being. But I'm with John, and he takes himself too seriously to the point where you can't even laugh at it.
No, I think he's a serious
He's trying to be funny, it's just cornball. He takes himself too seriously.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't get along very well with people who take themselves very seriously. I just don't. Like, it's just like
the fact that I feel like I need to do a video for Arizona, that an I'm coming video.
Darth Vader style.
Again, you can just
go work.
You can do it. Well, I mean, come on, man.
Listen, you always got to make a statement.
Vulcan,
bro, he had 5 sacks last year, man. Like, go out there and get 10 first, and then we'll do one of them.
Okay, well, so.
Like, stop.
I have no problem with you announcing
Especially for this money.
I have no problem with you announcing that you're going somewhere, right? That's what everybody does. I mean, these kids in freaking high school put out top 10s. So, like, it's just the culture that we're in now.
Will
right?
he be as effective as JPP?
No. JPP was the reason why they got to a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Did JPP do all this? I'm here. Did he do all that? Did he just go out and sack quarterbacks?
But JPP is not J.J. Watt in terms
of the needs the hype, man. J.J. Watt needs the hype. And that's why his brother, he just goes out there and plays.
TJ?
Yes.
Yeah. And there are Derek as well.
And should have Slick been defensive player of the year, had a gripe that he could have been.
Yeah, he is a good
player. That's a take for you there.
He is good.
He's a good
player. Good. Just goes out there and plays. JJ needs the attention, though, I feel like.
Derek and TJ both play for the Steelers.
Yes, he was going to join the other two. I don't think we've ever had three.
That may say to hell with y'all. I'm going to Arizona.
He went for the money grab.
He did. $31 million.
Pittsburgh certainly doesn't have any money to
give him.
That's
true. They got to
restructure with Ben,
I'm going to be honest with you.
Just to run it back.
If I'm J.J. Watt, I don't know off the top of my head. Actually, let's just make this a rundown. It's a good story.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, so J.J. Watt, who, of course, is one of the most prominent free agents out there, he has decided to go to Arizona, which is very random. But my whole point with J.J. is, if I'm him, and I've spent 8 years of my career in the same place, and I've won nothing. I mean, he has nothing to show for his time in Houston other than money.
Some division championships.
Yeah, which
are nothing. They equate to nothing.
They never made a playoff run. They never did anything, of real substance.
That ain't his fault, though.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, but I'm just saying, if I'm him, I would definitely want to use this opportunity to go somewhere where I might have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I think he thinks he can do that after this one.
Stop. Oh, you mean after this?
Yes, after this con. This is the max out on the money one, because after this one, you're in terms of from a production standpoint, you ain't going to be good enough to command those types of dollars.
But he's
so
31,
then you go
bro.
For the then you
cash
go
it.
For that.
Yeah,
for,
that's yes. a smart idea.
Then he's
over.
He's 32 this month.
That's why I'm telling you, he's cashing in right now.
You think he's got another contract after these next 2 years?
That's what he's hoping. He's got another one. He's hoping he does. You better believe it.
I mean,
and somebody will be dumb enough to give it to him. How old's Ndamukong Suh? About the same age?
Probably, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
A little older. He's
34. Yeah, you're 34.
See, and Dominican is doing
but he's just got it, though. In fairness, he's an interior
what
lineman.
What I'm telling you is that's what J.J. Watt is best suited for now. I just said that last segment. Earlier, too.
Yeah.
I think he's best suited for that role now, too, John, even though I'm sure they're going to start with him on the end. I think he's best suited for that role.
He's not going to be an interior lineman. He's going
to
be an edge.
Whether you think he's going to be able to get another one or not, I'm telling you, that's how he's thinking. That is how he's thinking, and that's why you took the money grab on this one. He's got to max out at this point right now, because he's not going to be able to do that, command that kind of money 2 years from now.
Yeah,
when he wants to go for a Super Bowl because Arizona has not come close, which they will not.
I will tell you this. I'm glad the Raiders didn't do this. This is a very John Gruden thing to do, like go sign like a washed-up veteran, give him a lot of money. That is very much what he does.
Well, they're going to tell themselves that that's what's going to get them over the hump, and they're not. It's not. That's not the case. It's a false narrative. They're not ready. They're not there at the hump to be, to go over yet.
I mean, they got to.
You need Kyler.
They got to protect Kyler.
Absolutely.
Right? They got to protect him. I mean, their offense is fine. Chandler Jones was out last year, but Peterson is past his prime.
Patrick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Patrick Peterson is past his prime.
Although he's still good, though.
He's good. They do have Buddha. I mean,
Buddha is good.
Yeah, Buddha's a stud.
Yeah, their defense, when you get Chandler back, I guess they're going to convince themselves and put him on the top.
Fair enough.
But I'm telling you right now, once San Francisco is back and healthy, they're just as good, if not better. We'll see with Garoppolo. We'll see what happens. They may make a move at quarterback. We don't know.
Over at the because free agency in the NFL is going to start soon. And it's actually going to be a very busy free agency. Like, there's going to be a lot of movement. I mean, we talked about this before, how the over-under right now is 18 in terms of quarterback changes, right, in the NFL. Dak over at NFL.com is the number one free agent. And it feels like, I don't know if you're picking up on this, and we'll ask Keyshawn Johnson about it at 125. It feels like momentum is building for a Dak departure. Does it not feel like that to you?
Yeah, it's Kirk Cousins. I told you that a while back. Y'all thought he was going to be there for in Dallas forever.
Can they franchise him again?
They're going to franchise him this year. It's going to be like $37 million. He's going to make a ton of money, and he'll be out because they can't do it a third year, because then it Johnny get obscene. It's 50-something.
Yep.
It's to franchise him third year. So that's not happening. And just like with Cousins, he'll then have a pick of wherever he wants to go, and somebody's going to give him a fortune. Dak has played this just right. I mean, he's got all the leverage in the world. Hey, I'll come give you another year on the franchise tag. I don't know why he would sign at this point and not go out on the open market, because you're so close now to being able to command whatever you want. And you know some team's going to pay him $40, $45 million. Somebody's going to be willing to do it. And so at this point, why not take the $37 million on the franchise tag? You'll be a year removed from getting out on the open market, man, because Dallas ain't going to pay you 50-something for a third straight year of franchise.
Yep.
So you're going to get out there, and you're this close. Why not go?
Well, it's interesting.
For a guy that was a fourth-round pick, and at one point, he has cashed in just like Kirk Cousins. And in the fact, Kirk Cousins has made the most money, right, over the last few years of any quarterback in before Mahomes' deal.
Yep.
It was Kirk that was cashing in. We just don't talk about it because he's in Minnesota now.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I've got like this, you know, this list up, and I assume the majority of the best guys, like the majority of the top 10 guys on this list, are going to be franchise tag. Like, Chris Godwin is probably going to get the franchise tag with Tampa Bay. That seems to be what's going to happen there. They're going to re-sign Shaq Barrett. You know, they're going to, you know, Aaron Jones is going to get a franchise
tag. Shaq Barrett's the most important one there.
In Green Bay. The question is, who is going to be the best?
Godwin's replaceable to me.
He is, but I mean,
all kinds of receivers down there.
I think he had the most targets on the team, though. So
he did, and especially
Tom Brady
in the season. He also probably had the most drops,
to have him back. Who is going to be the best player to actually hit the open market? Seems like it might be Carl Lawson there with Cincinnati.
I'm hoping it's not Allen Robinson.
Oh, he's definitely getting tagged.
We're going to tag him.
Yeah, but then they might trade him.
He would have been.
Kenny Galladay is going to hit the open market.
Galladay's good.
You know, and he's actually ended up having a great year. The edge rusher there in Baltimore, we'll see. Matt Judon. There was some controversy where he had threatened to expose the ESPN reporter up there for going to the strip club. Did you miss all that?
I think I did.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous. He said the reporting was wrong. He said, stop reporting this or else I'm going to expose you for going to the strip club.
A Baltimore ESPN reporter?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Oh, Will Fuller's going to hit the open market. Huh. So there's going to be some opportunity here in the NFL and free agency. You know, we'll see what happens with Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, is he going to go back to Pittsburgh? So there will be a lot of opportunities for these guys around the NFL. But J.J. Watt has made a choice. It is the Arizona Cardinals for some reason, a money grab. And we'll ask Keyshawn Johnson about that at 125.
Next story.
Isaac Brown got the gig at Wichita State. And believe it or not, no one was happier for him than John Martin.
New basketball coach at Wichita State.
Who swooped in to capitalize, I noticed, when he noticed a video, John Martin did, of Isaac Brown, it being announced by the athletic director that they were taking the interim tag over in Wichita State. Remember, this caused quite a bit of controversy here on the show a little while back when I brought up that Isaac Brown should get the job, just like every red-blooded American in the country was saying. I brought it up to John.
Yep.
And I said, no, Mark Turgeon.
I said they should do a search,
and
bro.
Yet when John saw the video, what did he see? An opportunity.
Wow.
Oh, this is a beautiful thing. I'm going to swoop in and try to go viral. The point was, it was a beautiful thing. It was the right thing done by Wichita State. John, they're getting a hell of a deal on Isaac Brown.
Well, I know nobody's happier than you about it.
A man that has this team that was picked seventh in the AAC, first right now in the American, and if they just take care of business, they'll end up first. He's going to earn $1 million. They signed him to a five-year deal, I believe it is. Deals were probably worth $6 million. It's going to be $1 million basically the first 2 years, according to the Wichita Eagle, then $1.25 million for the final 3 years. So they're getting a deal, no doubt. And they, could use one with the amount of money they were still paying Greg Marshall, quite frankly, to resign, the amount they were paying him to step away. And so, anyway, a man that certainly had deserved it with what with where he's got Wichita State, like we said, number one in the conference right now. They were picked seventh, got what he was supposed to get, which was the interim tag up off him. And do we have the audio, by the way?
Hey, here we go. Here we go. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed your off day. We still got games to play. Today we're going to have a solid practice to get ready for Tulane. We got to keep getting better. We almost to the end. We just got to make sure we're doing the right things and y'all wearing the mask and taking care of yourself and doing exactly what you're supposed to do in the classroom. But Mr. Boatwright, our AD, got an announcement he want to make.
Hey, guys. I've spoken to just about all of you in the last 48 hours and visited with Coach Brown earlier today. And I want you to know that when you walk out of practice today, it will have been publicly announced that Coach Brown and I have agreed on a 5-year contract.
Oh, yeah.
None of this wouldn't have been possible without you guys. And it's not about the wins and the losses. It's more about you guys being good people and doing exactly what you're supposed to do on and off the court, the way you carry yourself. The one thing we're going to do, an entire staff, man, we want to help you guys reach your dreams and goals no matter what. We're going to be here for you 10, 20, 30 years down the line. We just want to help you guys accomplish all that you can accomplish. Now, let's get to business, because we got a championship to win.
I mean, you got to be happy for good people like that that sort of get what they deserve. And listen, look, in 3 years that they'd been in the American, Greg Marshall hadn't done what Isaac Brown has done in this time, short time as interim coach. They'd been second, sixth, and fourth in the American. And I know we can say, hey, down year, certainly for the American, and it is. But again, this was a team that was picked to finish seventh, lost its coach, walked away a week before the season.
Yep.
And that's when Isaac Brown is then named. He becomes the head. This is a guy who's been a Division I assistant coach, I believe, for 19 seasons. Has been a grinder and sort of that lifetime assistant. Nobody deserved it more than him. You could hear it, how happy his players were for him. Can sort of tell. There's a nice little mojo working in that program, and I think they're getting Isaac Brown on a deal, frankly.
Well, they are. And
a leader of men.
It's not better for anybody more than it is for Penny Hardaway. This is great news for Penny Hardaway, because this certainly will likely mean two wins a year if we are to judge anything off of that last performance when Memphis beat their ass by 20 points. So it's a great development for the University of Memphis that they hired this guy. It's great.
Mark Turgeon done a lot better.
It's great. Well, I don't know if you saw what he did against Michigan State this weekend. You know,
they've won 7 of 8 Wichita State Cup.
Maryland.
You know what that included? A win over Houston at the time was number 6 in the country.
Maryland beat Tom Izzo yesterday by 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty good to you?
Yeah, and how much would they have paid Maryland for him? With the outgoing, still paying?
It's hard to know.
Exactly.
Look, Wichita State hurting for cash here. I mean, they got the brothers there. They're fine.
Wichita State is not Duke or Blue Blood all of a sudden. They need deals, too, and if they can get one, they're absolutely going to do it. They're getting a hell of a deal on a guy who deserves the job in Brown.
No, I'm not
going to argue with you on this.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue
especially
with you.
After you just go on Twitter and tell everybody else publicly, oh, this is so good, but then you come on the radio and try to slick badmouth this thing.
No, I'm not going
to
argue with you.
Badmouth the hire and all that.
I think both things can be true. I can think that it's a good development for Memphis, but also think that was an awesome moment. And it was an awesome moment, and that's honestly a testament to how those players feel about him. And because I guarantee you, that if they would have made that announcement, you know, back when Tubby was the coach, when the athletic director comes up in front and says, hey, Tubby's going to be back for a year three, they would not have mauled him like that, okay? So it does speak to
– so classy, too, to get to credit the kids.
Oh, exactly.
Like, he ain't getting this million first 2 years, all that. If they don't win 8 out of 9 or whatever, is 7 out of their last 8. Like, it's them that literally have got you this, and so to be, you know, to thank them first, I just thought was so appropriate.
From Pascagoula, Mississippi?
I believe that's correct.
Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Yeah, bit of Arkansas State, I want to say, is an assistant.
Population 22,392 in 2010. And so, yeah, now, Isaac Brown.
What we need, if you are a supporter of the Memphis programs, you need Isaac Brown to get Wichita State to the level we had expected Greg Marshall to come here, just that top four-ish level we expected them to be automatically when they got here, but hadn't been the last two seasons under Greg Marshall, and they are under Isaac Brown in this 1 year of interim.
I think if I'm looking at a vision for the conference, I don't know what you guys think, top three, if you can keep them in that top three range, you're winning as far as Isaac Brown, you know.
Especially for $1 million a year.
Anywhere around top three, you know.
Yes, that is definitely true. But honestly, there's no reason why Wichita State can't be top three.
That's right.
I mean, because that guy, that coach sucks.
Damn it. He is terrible.
I mean, he's losing players. Yeah. Cumberland is the best player last year, didn't like him. I don't think they're recruiting very well.
No.
You know, I think he's going to end up being fired in 2 years at Cincinnati unless they can turn that thing around pretty quick. I mean, because look, it doesn't take long, or it shouldn't take long in college basketball. And fans are getting pretty sick of him. Already from my tweet yesterday, because I had a Cincinnati writer retweet it. Apparently, lots of streaks are ending under John Brannon, you know, and that's never a good thing. That's never a good thing when you're ending streaks on the wrong side for a second year coach. But yeah, I mean, look, Isaac Brown's a good guy. The players like him. You're always happy to see guys have success in those impossible situations. And Memphis beat him by 20. I mean, that's absolutely the perfect scenario. So. Anyway, great to see for Isaac Brown, for at least one of us, as he becomes the permanent head coach with a 5-year deal over at Wichita State.
Next story.
Very bizarre story from over the weekend with an old friend of the show, Dan Dockage. This is something that took place over the weekend. Dan Wolken, of all people, was the main chronicler of all of this. But Dan Dockage removed himself from Twitter, deactivated his account. I guess it was on Saturday or Sunday. I guess it was yesterday. Basically, in the wake of some what were interpreted to be sexist comments, misogynistic comments, because we know Dan's stance on certain issues like paying players to play college basketball. He is not in favor of that. He was going back and forth with some academics, right, who specialize in these things. And I guess at one point there was a reference from a former Division I swimmer about, hey, you know, if you have such a, you know, strong opinion, let's go at it in the pool. And then he got on his show or something along those lines and, you know, said that would be, you know, my wife would have a problem with that, or I don't know, just something along those lines. And it led to some backlash. He took his Twitter down and said, I guess yesterday or today, that going to church is what made him reactivate it. He reactivated it and said, but I think if he was truly listening, you know, no, God was saying, keep it off for the rest of humanity. Please don't go back.
He missed God's message.
I think he misinterpreted God was saying. No, keep it deactivated for everybody's sake. But he did come back on Twitter. And look, Dan on a basketball game is actually like
we've discussed this.
Yeah, like he's pretty good. You know, he's you learn stuff. He played the game. That comes through. But every other part of him is just disgusting to me. Like, I can't stand it. I cannot stand what he stands for. And I think that's become clear, you know, through our sort of history here. And all that being said, I don't know, you know, it's up to you to sort of decide, like, how bad. I feel like he's probably done stuff much worse than this in the past and gotten to skate through on. You know, I saw something. I'm not going to be the guy who comes in here today and says, oh, cancel culture is ruining, you know, society and things like that. I do think we're sensitive as hell in 2021. I just think that's part of the gig. Maybe we should be sensitive, right? Maybe that's part of maybe we need to be. Maybe we haven't been in the past and we should have been. I saw Taylor Swift this morning on Twitter complaining because some TV show made a joke. And it said, you go through men more than Taylor Swift. And she got, I mean, is that bad? I feel like I've said much worse on this show.
Oh, I know how Taylor's going to react to that.
And she said, this is a deeply sexist joke. And I'm like,
I think I'm kind of with you a little bit. I realize we have to be very careful with our words now, and that words matter.
Yeah,
we are at a point now where you got like.
Well, you're also a public figure.
Yeah, you are a public
exactly,
figure.
Exactly. Like
right. Once you become that, there are certain things that can. I mean, you have to put up with.
Well, you also get into it's like when somebody asks to examine something. Well, then you start examining it. Okay, so Taylor, how many people have you had relationships with? I mean, like that's where you go with it.
I don't think it's inherently sexist.
No, it's not sexist.
Now maybe.
I mean, it is what it is.
Like, if somebody made the same joke, you go through women more than,
right.
And we could get into, like, there's a connotation where right. if you're a man, you have lots of partners.
Right.
You're,
it's different. You're there's a double standard.
Absolutely. Right. A double
if you're
standard.
A woman and you have a lot of partners.
And some of that is
because
true.
Because when George Clooney does it, he's just a playboy.
Right. It's
and we don't.
That's true, Jason.
Right. But like. Runs through a bunch of girlfriends or whatever.
Yeah, you don't look at it through the
Taylor
same prism.
Taylor Swift has run through a series of boyfriends.
That's true. That's true.
That is true, Jason.
We will look at Taylor and say, okay, she's running through, man.
Yeah.
And look at George Clooney and say, man, I want to be like that.
Yeah, John Mayer's fine, but what about her?
Do you not like?
But that's literally America. How are you going to change that tomorrow?
If you're Taylor Swift, though, are you just going to start like just picking off jokes now? And
no, she's a public figure. That's the thing is that at some point she's going to have to. Again, that's not slander. I mean, that's not. Is it?
It's a joke.
It's
a joke.
That's not something she could sue for in court. And that's not bringing her down a peg. That's not slander whatsoever. You're a public figure, and as civilians, they're entitled to make comments about you.
Yeah, and so the same thing here applies with Dan Dockage. I think the guy is insufferable on pretty much anything other than college basketball, and even on certain topics there, we know he's insufferable
and
too.
Super not sensitive. He's opposite.
No, I mean,
he can be a hammer
it's
sometimes,
shtick,
and like, then he double sides it. To Jason's point, we talked about this. He'll say one thing, tweet another, be on an interview.
I have next to zero respect for Dan Dockage as an entertainer, as a radio host, whatever. Do I think this is? I feel like he's done way worse in the past, you know. But do I? Absolutely, and I'm flesh enough, Jason, as you would say, to admit it. I enjoy it when he is going through something. I'm sorry, like I think it's hilarious.
Great,
I just do.
Again, he took himself off Twitter.
I know, but
this is not.
But he did it because he felt like he had to. You know, and when I read that ESPN is investigating this, like I'm just like,
yeah,
it's
and
great.
What are they going to do? Because that's it, you get one Dan on that, and you get the other Dan on his radio.
That's
show.
True. That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. The Dan
but
that she gets the college
say,
basketball
you know,
analyst.
You say because
usually,
of his radio show and what he says on there, it's not worth him being associated
with
our
brand.
My
whole thing is, I just doubt ESPN's willing to do that.
I think
they see a bunch of value in him as their college basketball. They're one of their best college basketball analysts.
Yeah.
So I guess punishing him or anything from what he's doing on his radio show, you're getting into some gray territory.
The challenge is it's an ESPN.
They don't control him there.
Well, it's an ESPN affiliate. Even if they're not 0-0, you know. So if Emmis owns the radio station, much like Entercom owns the station, the challenge you run into is the "they did it, why did you not" deal.
Yep.
And so, but I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I can tell you why they didn't do it, because Dan Dockage
cash.
Yeah, Dan Dockage is good for
local
them.
Cash.
It's the way it goes.
It's very simple.
ESPN's gonna part ways with them much.
It doesn't matter, right? They got another dude they'll bring off the bench.
Who is it, Emmis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Emmis ain't letting him go.
No.
I mean, there's just no way. So
he has to be fair to Emmis, though, they've taken some pretty close ones on him.
Well, they've suspended him with pay.
Yeah,
and all that,
yeah.
You know, just like whatever. I mean, there's a wink, wink, nod, nod. You'll be back next week.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, is there not?
I mean, I know the program director, so we can talk about it. But, you know. I think that's a personnel situation.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the latest there with Dan Dockage. He's back on Twitter, unfortunately, we only got a brief respite from him on social media.
Next story.
Go from Dan Dockage to a gentleman of the media game. His name was Irv Cross, passed away on Sunday. Guy that I grew up, first black man to work full-time as a sports analyst on national television. He did it with CBS. For those that are old enough to remember, he was a class act. Irv Cross, you never unflappable is what I would say is how I would describe Irv Cross, who was spent the most time. Now his career I'm not obviously as familiar with, but I guess spent the most of his seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, six of his nine with the Eagles. Passed away in his home, near his home in Rossville, Minnesota. Cause of death was not provided, but just a true, as everybody that said about him said, a true gentleman. and one of the first, the first black analyst, as we said, to be on national television, but a guy who clearly paved the way for so many others, never looked for any of the, hey, I'm the first. You didn't hear him, but, hey, I'm the first, I'm the first, I'm the first. You didn't have, Irv was just doing the job, and he was doing it as classy as possible. And so a salute to a gentleman of the game that was Irv Cross, passed away on Sunday at the age of 81, former CBS NFL analyst.
All right, we will come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk to him about college basketball, about Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, the NFL, all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Soon, you're going to be able to parlay your listening to 92.9 into straight cash. Keep listening to Win the Cash. It's the hourly parlay payday on 92.9 FM ESPN. Parlay your listening into straight cash. $1,000 an hour. Tune all your radios to 92.9 FM ESPN on radio.com.
Miami Heat star Duncan Robinson knows a thing or two about being overlooked. From beginning his college career at a D3 liberal arts school to starting in last year's NBA Finals. Now, on his new podcast, The Long Shot, Robinson celebrates the most unlikely and unexpected success stories in sports and beyond. Join Duncan and his co-host Davis Reed on The Long Shot podcast as they sit down with those who have proven naysayers wrong and overcame the odds. The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed is available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
It is moving season, so make sure you call Blacktown Moving for all your moving needs. If you're thinking about relocating, whether it's home or office, cross town, cross country, make sure you call the pros at Black Tie Moving. 316-619-6316-6196. Black Tie has changed moving in the city of Memphis, because when you're moving, you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life. The good folks at Black Tie, they get that. I've used them not once but twice during the move, and I am so glad I did. They took all the stress out of the situation. They got there on time. They were efficient, and that's all you could ask for when you're moving. So give them a call now, 316-6196. Book your move now. It is going to start booking up fast because spring and summer are right around the corner. Black Tie wants to take the chore of moving your things out of your hands and make it that much easier for you. Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. Call today.
Tonight on the all-new season of The Voice.
I may be nice, but I'm playing to win.
Nick Jonas, can you believe what Kelly just said?
I can't, John Legend. We've got to stop her.
But how, my faithful sidekick?
Sidekick.
Meanwhile, deep in the Himalayas,
must find enlightenment.
Will Kelly win it all? Can John and Nick form a plan? Why is Blake in the mountains?
This was all Kelly's idea.
Coxon!
Uh-oh.
Find out on the all-new season of The Voice, tonight on NBC.
If you're very quiet, you can hear it. The joy, the freedom, the crunch. From 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Tonight on the all-new season of The Voice.
I may be nice, but I'm playing to win.
Nick Jonas, can you believe what Kelly just said?
I can't, John Legend. We've got to stop her.
But how, my faithful sidekick?
Sidekick?
Meanwhile, deep in the Himalayas,
must find enlightenment.
Will Kelly win it all? Can John and Nick form a plan? Why is Blake in the mountains?
This was all Kelly's idea.
Coxon!
Uh-oh.
Find out on the all-new season of The Voice, tonight on NBC.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Jason Fitz is the host.
of Spain and Fitz. Caught him all weekend long doing college basketball digital shows for ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jason Fitz. He joins us every Monday, and he joins us now. Mr. Fitz, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing spectacular. How's Memphis?
Well, we're upset right now. We're mad at the world.
We're upset at Kelvin Sampson, Fitzy.
And in case you're not up to speed, we will get you very quickly up to speed. Memphis had two games. Memphis, of course, which is trying to get an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament, needs all the opportunities they can get. They had two opportunities against Houston this season, as they always do. Their first game against Houston, which was on the road, was postponed slash canceled because of Memphis's COVID-19 issues. As Memphis was emerging out of their COVID-19 pause, it became clear that Houston did not want to reschedule that game. And then, based on a rule that was agreed upon by AAC athletic directors before the season, moved the game in Memphis at the end of the year back to Houston. So now not only does Memphis not get two games against Houston, they don't even get one home game against Houston. That got moved there, and it sounds like Kelvin Sampson does not want to play or make up the second game. Does Memphis have a legitimate gripe?
Yeah, 1,000% they do. This is one of the hard things about the way that this is all going down this year, is trying to figure out what's normal and what should be allowed. But the problem is, we talked about it all the time, and I don't know why we don't play basketball. In college football, there was a lack of consistency conference to conference and what they were looking for, and there was a lack of transparency. We've seen a little of that across the board in college basketball, too, and it affects everybody. I mean, and I'm worried about what the bubble's going to look like this year for everybody that's sitting on it, because, and I asked Seth Greenberg this flat out on Saturday on Countdown to Game Day, I'm concerned that there's going to be some brand bias. I know that phrasing gets a lot of people fired up, but if you're on the committee and you're a human being and you're looking at the bubble and you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to put a team like Duke or Michigan State in, Michigan State after their loss yesterday, you know, are they a bubble team? You're trying to make that decision for one of these big conference teams against Memphis. I mean, I don't think that's going to go well for mid-majors in general. So, you know, yes, every game matters 10 times more right now for mid-majors, and every game matters 10 times more of where it's going to be played and how it's going to be played, because that ultimately, the tournament's on the line for everybody, and I think it's going to be tougher for teams like Memphis to get in than it should be.
Fitzy, sticking with college basketball, Baylor lose any juice for you and falling at Kansas? Now, that's a Kansas team that's obviously improved, but that's a Baylor team that had been undefeated, coming off a COVID pause, still just their second game back. They still a one seed for you, or they lose a little bit of that juice?
They're still a one seed, but I think what's happening is two sides of it. I mean, Baylor loses a little bit of the you know, juice or the street cred everybody's trying to give them right now, although people are already trying to say, well, you know, Big 12 basketball this year has been really tough, you know, which is fine. But, you know, on top of that, the other side of it is Michigan is playing so well. I just feel like right now that it's going to end up really packed for those number one seeds, and where you end up is going to matter. So, because there are going to be so many weird teams making it into the tournament. I feel like what happened there isn't going to take Baylor off the number one, but it is going to get Michigan even more momentum.
Since we last visited, Fitz, Michigan beat – I mean, they made Iowa look like, you know, like an AAEC team, honestly. Like, I mean, they made a top 10 team look silly. And then, of course, they got the win over the weekend as well. You know, we asked this question last week, and I still feel like even last week after they beat Ohio State, there was still a reservation, right? There was still a reservation about, okay, do we put Michigan – can you entertain putting Michigan above Baylor?
Yeah, I think it's all about how you're playing at the end.
Yes.
You know, and one thing to keep in mind that I've heard multiple of our guys say is that there's a ton of people in the committee that have already given weight to the last 10 games, the last couple of weeks of the season. They just get more weight because they mean more to everybody involved in the process. It shows how you're playing going into the tournament. And now what you have is, as you guys alluded to, when you think about what Baylor's dealing with, the COVID shutdown, now you've got Michigan going super hot. Baylor's trying to get their momentum back a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan is playing their way right into a two seed, and they're going to get a lot of credit for how they play in the conference tournament. That Big Ten conference tournament is going to be a nightmare for everybody. So, you know, I think Michigan, by the time it's all said and done, I think Michigan's going to be the number one seed in the country.
You know, we know better than anybody here in Memphis how long it's been since Memphis has made the field of 68. It's been
It'll be 7 years. It'll be 7 years this year if they don't get in, which is one of the longest droughts, you know, in the history of the program, honestly. But in terms of brands that we have missed, right, in terms of programs and brands that we have missed from the NCAA tournament, who is in the company of Memphis off the top of your head, Fitz? Like, who do we need to see get back in?
UNLV is the only team I'm worried about getting back in. I mean, that hadn't happened forever.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know that they have an answer that's got as much love. Like, I think the reason that Memphis separates to me in wanting to get them back in is because it actually matters a lot to the school, to the community, to everybody that's around it. There's a lot of places, like, you know, I talk every once in a while to the ESPN radio affiliate that's up in Syracuse. And while obviously they haven't had this sort of drought, like, there's a lot of conversation about whether or not Syracuse is as good as they used to be. That's one of the rare markets that when I talk to them, everybody really cares about what's happening for their team in college basketball. I think that's why Memphis stands out as a team you need to see get in. I mean, so often the teams that are trying to fight their way in are teams that, you know, when they're good, the fans care. When they're not good, the fans don't care. That's never defined Memphis basketball. So, you know, I think that's part of the reason they're at the top of the list for me, is that there's so much on the line for the way the fan base feels about it. And the toughest part is, I think it has to, and I know we've talked about this, but, you know, it has to be tough to see somebody like Juwan Howard have so much success coming in and understanding that that's what we all hoped was going to happen for Penny and Memphis. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen,
right,
but when you see it happen somewhere else, it's a little like if you're on a diet and your buddy's losing the weight like crazy and suddenly everybody's like, oh, you look great. And you're like, no, guys, I'm getting a little better. Like, things are a little better. Like, it's just a little better doesn't feel good enough right now for where Memphis is trying to be. So I think Memphis is at the top of the list.
Well, so to that point, and I know, you know, Jason has heard this, you know, my partner has heard this basically every day since they beat Ohio State. But I actually wrote about this, you know, why can't Memphis be Michigan? You know, you look up at Michigan, and it's a former NBA player, and I know that it's not exactly identical, but to that point, I mean, I don't know how, if you're a Memphis fan, you can't look and see how awesome Michigan is and not feel a little jealous.
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, that was what's happening right now for Michigan is what, frankly, I hoped was going to be happening for Memphis. So, you know, I realize that there are different profiles to the schools that play in different conferences. But, you know, there's been a lot that's been smartly done by Juwan Howard and how he's put the staff together. And there's been a lot that's been smartly done in the way he seems to get the guys that are coming there. And by the way, he has a top recruiting class for next year, right? So, you know, you look at Michigan and you say, good God, like all of a sudden out of the blue, they have gotten themselves into this situation. Now, he took over a program that already had a lot of momentum and brand recognition and all those things. But this is what you're expecting from Penny. And I know the Memphis fans in general that listen to the show get fired up whenever I'm anti-Penny. It's not that I'm anti-Penny. I think that I'm so pro-Penny, pro-Penny. I want this to work out so well because it is the sort of story that takes everybody over. Like, you see what it does for Juwan. Like, at this point, they're talking about Michigan on SportsCenter. Why? Because there's a person that everybody's heard of that's coaching it and leading this program. So that's the opportunity that's there. So it is. I mean, I think it's natural to feel jealous, and I understand why everybody does.
Turning to the NFL, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, we're seeing them all in the news because we're saying, okay, which destination would they be best at, whether hypothetical, whatever else. Who's got which one of those guys got the most to gripe about, Fitz, in terms of their organization?
Deshaun.
It's Deshaun?
Deshaun's got the most to gripe about. I mean, because realistically, last year they let Russ cook for half the season, right, as everybody kept saying. And they've really, I know that they haven't won Super Bowls. That hasn't been good enough. He's gotten beat up. But Seattle's a competitive team every stinking year. The Cowboys win on Madden every time. Like, the roster's always good enough, you know. And frankly, most teams that lose their starting quarterback in a COVID year like they did last year are going to have a bad year. But you can't look at the Cowboys, especially offensively, and question their talent. The Texans have, at some point, and this was a Bill O'Brien thing, I think the Texans decided that coaching mattered more than players. So once they got Deshaun, they figured they could just, any player that looked like they were going to be any good, they could trade them and use the draft picks because, hey, we can save money because our coaches are so good. Well, that was a huge misstep. The way that they've talked to or not talked to Deshaun leading up has been a huge misstep. So I think he's got a massive gripe. I mean, Dak's big gripe is, I want to get paid.
Is that you haven't paid me, right? Right.
Right. And that's a fair gripe. I think a lot of people are underestimating how this plays out because Dak now has been paid generational money. I mean, for somebody that wanted to get his opportunity to have financial security, he got, what, $32 million last year?
Mm-hmm.
Fully guaranteed. It's already in the bank. Nobody can take it from him. Deshaun has gotten a massive payday, although part of that was in bonuses, and part of that they could probably go back after. I think everybody's just assuming that those two are going to come back to their team because that's what quarterbacks do. I'm not assuming anything at this point, because when you got that kind of money in the bank and you understand, like, I think as much as everybody talks about Dak's going to want to come back because of the injury and blah, 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 I think the injury, if anything, is reason that you want to dig your heels in more about exactly where you want to be and how you want to be there. So, you know, we just keep saying, I mean, the only real answer for why anyone thinks Deshaun is going to be there and Dak's going to be in Dallas is, well, just because that's the way it always happens. And with those two gentlemen, I mean, I think it's incredibly dangerous to presume how people that have that sort of wealth are going to spend that money in the short term. So I still think both of them, at least Deshaun, I'm convinced Deshaun's gone, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dak is gone too.
Wow. What about Russell Wilson? I have already pre-ordered his jersey. I've got the away version. I'm more of a fan of the away Raiders jerseys for some reason. I know I'm a contrarian in that regard. I had an away Randy Moss jersey. It's one of my most shameful purchases ever. I'm embarrassed by it, but I just came clean. Should I cancel the pre-order?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things here. You're right. The away jersey is better than a home jersey, but I like the alternate away jersey with the silver numbers. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, the
one.
Color rush. Yes.
Yeah. Those are good. Number two, Randy Moss specifically should never have been allowed in the Hall of Fame, because Hall of Famers don't just consistently just quit on a
that's
team
exactly
if they don't
right.
want to be there. And that's
exactly
what
right.
he did. And like, you want to show – fine. If that's a Hall of Famer, I'm going to go show that tape to every kid and be like, here's how you get in the Hall of Fame. You just stop working when you're on a bad team. But all those things aside, Russ ain't going to the Raiders. It's cute that he came in the conversation, but I think that ultimately what have we seen? Every time Russ has drawn an imaginary line in the sand, if he says jump, the Seahawks say fine, how high? And, you know, at this point, I think that we haven't talked enough about Pete Carroll's age. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. Does he really want to go back in the draft and start a whole rebuild when he knows that year in and year out he's competitive with Russ? So I think what they're going to do is they're going to let Russ have a little bit of a voice in the draft meetings and feel like he's a big part of how they decide what they're doing there. And everybody will come together and sing Kumbaya by the campfire, and it'll be fine by the beginning of the football season. Russ, because he's done this before in some ways, they're going to find a way to get it done. He'll be back.
Fitzy, it's sort of a version of a question we asked last week, but what do you, in terms of your work life, what are you most looking forward to getting back to once we've gotten to that level, but right post-COVID, that everybody's comfortable? Is it game day, Fitzy? Is it a different part of your job? But speak with your work life specifically, what are you looking forward to getting back to?
It's game day. I mean, being around the college, and not just game day, for football, but, you know, I'm hosting game day basketball this year too. And the number of times I've talked to Reese about how different it is, you know, like, there's just one of my favorite memories of me working at ESPN was being with Mike Golic Jr. We went to see Duke, North Carolina for the Zion blowout game. And we were in the stands and just feeling that electricity. Like, I miss that more than anything. I miss, particularly for college athletics, because I think for college sports, it's not just about, you know, your fandom in the moment. It's about the years and years and years that it's been ingrained in you and the community around it, and why everybody that's, you know, half the kids that are in the stands are paying money to be there, right? Like, there's just a different connection to what it means to everybody to be around college sports. So for me, it's the absolute trash talking before a game in the parking lot of a college football game, and it's the roar of a crowd after a dunk in college basketball that my body craves that at this point.
Yeah, it's the gathering that's so much a part of it in college athletics. So we got to ask you this one too, especially since you're around the same age as me and Brad. Maybe you've got around the same dance moves you always wanted to master but never could, Fitzy. Mine was remember that kid and play jump through thing that I could never get my leg through? What was yours? I think John's was twerking. What
no,
was yours?
It was not twerking.
Wow. So this one's easy for me. When I was touring with the band Perry, at one point Kimberly came in and said, okay, we're going to do introductions for everybody during this one portion of a song. And so for that portion of the song, they asked each of us what we wanted to do. And so, you know, I was just never the type of guy that wanted to walk to the edge of the stage and put on my like rock and roll face. Like, that's just not me. Not surprising to anybody.
Yep.
So, like, I did play a little bit. I don't remember what song was, but I played, on fiddle, I played cover of Painted Black by the Rolling Stones. That was sort of my intro. But before that, I always, like, they just gave us a little moment. So what did I want to do? So I told Kimberly, I was like, yeah, I want to dance. And Kimberly's like, yeah, I've seen you dance. You can't dance. I said, that's the whole point. So I'll never forget the night that I handed one of them my fiddle. And I just decided in front of like 25,000 people, I was going to try the worm for the first time. Uh-huh. And it did not go well. Like, I landed on my face. It looked like a bad push-up. I was pretty sure I'd broken my nose for a minute. Still played the solo after it, but I tried the worm. So, like, I would love to know that I could, like, master that move and just worm across the stage to the mic. Like, at the NFL draft, you know, like, don't tell anybody I'm doing it. Wait till the show starts, then do the worm across the studio set and pop down and then sit the intro of the show. Like, that's baller. I need that.
So you tried to flatten out, basically, in the air on the way down and hit face first is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I hit, like, sort of nose first on the stage. It was good. Oh. It was good.
My answer.
Yeah, after that, I just stuck to the whip and nay nay for a little while.
my answer fits was not twerking. My answer was the moonwalk.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I'd rather see it twerk. I got to be honest. I'd rather see it twerk.
Well, that you got to pay for that. That's OnlyFans.com. All right. That's OnlyFans. Or I might put it on like the premium Twitter. You had to pay $5 for that a month.
Dear Fitz, Lord.
Always appreciate the time, Fitz, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Appreciate you guys.
Yep. Thanks, he is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. We will come back. Lots more to come. Keyshawn Johnson is going to join us at 1:25. We will allow you to ask him if he would like to twerk at 1:25. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN is the only station in Memphis and the Mid-South that has Rewind. Simply listen to 92.9 on the radio.com app, and you can use Rewind up to 24 hours for any of your favorite 92.9 shows. Rewind on the radio.com app with 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
92.9 ESPN from radio.com.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, your sports radio vaccine.
Memphis is home of the blues, barbecue, and Blue Note Juke Joint. It's bold like the blues and smoother than smooth. Enjoy it neat, on the rocks, or in a cocktail. Ask for it at your favorite liquor store, bar, or restaurant. Blue Note Bourbon Juke Joint.
When do people most often think about selling their homes? In the spring? Sure they do, but home sales take place all year long. I'm Kelly Erb with Mark Spinsdorf Realtors, and we often say when the azaleas bloom in the spring, so do the real estate signs. What do you think, Sheldon?
Well, Kelly, you are correct. While spring and summer are great times to sell, we've sold homes on Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving weekend, Labor Day, and other holidays. I'm Sheldon Rosengarten, also with Mark Spinsdorf Realtors. Kelly and I work as a team, and we often see people moving all year long, especially due to our corporate relocations with whom we work due to our being members of a large relocation network.
So if you're thinking of selling, take advantage of the low inventory, low rates, and our highly successful strategic marketing plan with Shell Bucks option. Email or call us at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
And don't forget what people often say. When you want the job done, call Shell Dunn or Kelly Erb. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're now offering 20% off LASIK with our latest Wavelight laser when treated in March. Go to LASIK.com to see this offer and see if LASIK is right for you. Plus, LASIK has never been more convenient. The procedure typically only takes 15 minutes, and most patients can get back to work the next day. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. Must mention this promotion and be treated in March 2021 to qualify. 20% off standard price of Wavelight procedure. Go to LASIK.com for details.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24 sanitizing spray. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially, including the virus that causes COVID-19. Once dry, Microban 24 sanitizing spray is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Remax Experts, looking to buy or sell your home. That's the team. Been telling you about them for a while because they are the best team in Memphis and the Mid-South. They're going to help you list your home, go through the entire process, and it can be a lot, especially in a market like this. They're also going to help you get top dollar for your home. There's a reason why they're top five anytime. They are always top five. They're the best in the business. Email them info@livelovememphis.com.
It's the team I got with 2 years ago. And they sold my lemon of a home. Got the most we could for it. Jen said, fix this, Jason. Don't worry. We're going to get you out of here. And that's what happened. 6 days, they had the home sold, had multiple offers. Huh? Thank you, Live Love. Thank you, Jennifer Carstensen. Then she helped us find our dream home as well. That makes my wife very happy, continues to this day. You can be just like me on that one. Can be like Contar, can be like Cubbins, like so many others we've told you about. Jane. Thank goodness she got with Live Love because she stood to lose thousands. You can get the wrong advice out here, even though it's a good market for you as a seller. Don't do that. Get the right advice. Get it with the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. That number, 410-8818, is the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts or at livelovememphis.com.
I just have one question, Jason, and it's for our producer, Brad Carson, and it's a very simple question, and yes. I was hoping you could clear a couple of things up for us. Jason, I think you and I are, you know, we were kind of confused. Is Mike Miller going to be the coach at Houston basketball? Is he the coach for Houston basketball?
He's still the coach at Houston basketball.
Okay.
Yes.
So you kind of dug
Brad,
in.
Brad, like Woj around here.
You are the Woj of Memphis.
I am the Woj of Memphis, yeah.
You are near and dear to the situation.
On that Houston basketball
beat. I did some novice reporting. As you guys know, I am not a reporter. I'm not even a columnist. I'm merely just a guy who works at a radio station. And, you know, I was looking on – actually, if you guys haven't seen this, it actually is really cool. Houston has I guess like a social media coordinator guy, much like the University of Memphis does or the Grizzlies do. And they put out this video. I mean, it is ridiculous. It's like
a hype video?
Well, yeah. Like, you know, when I had a hype video in high school, actually, we didn't have a hype video in high school. We didn't have a video, in fact. We didn't have a phone.
That's true.
We
no
didn't,
highlights.
We didn't have pants.
Now, were there highlights to make?
No,
some
there were
five passes, fool. Five passes before
you
got to
have five passes before you shoot in Mount Olive, Illinois.
Look at that three-man weave. They're running there.
You're lucky to get the picket fence through and beat Greenfield, let alone get on the court.
That was a big game, though, Greenfield.
We knocked off Greenfield my senior night. That
Brad
was
didn't
a
have a mixtape.
It was a highlight. We didn't have a mixtape, but we didn't even have the pants. You know, like, it was a big deal. I mean, seriously, for a second, we didn't have those warm-up pants. Like, having warm-up pants was a big deal back in the 90s. You'd be like, whoa. Look at O'Fallon. They got warm. East St. Louis, look at the warm-up pants. Like, we don't have warm-up pants. But I was, like, looking at the video, and they've got multiple kids who can just, like, do NBA-level dunks, and they're doing it in the
That's
video.
Right.
You know, you've got multiple kids, All-Americans. You know, you have an NBA coach over here. I mean, it's just it puts it into perspective for young Brad over here. So I retweeted it, and then apparently somebody said that Mike isn't coaching. He's coaching. He's using technology. He's going to be there at Houston, and I'm excited about it because they're actually in the playoffs. They're getting ready for the Tennessee, the TSSAA.
Well, if Hugh Freeze can coach from a hospital bed, you know?
I'll tell you this.
Are they going to win state?
Yeah.
They have to, right?
I mean, I don't know who they're going to have to go through, but they're definitely going to be overwhelming favorites.
Well, who in AAA in Tennessee can beat them? I mean, the only loss they have is Christian Brothers right here locally.
Yeah.
And that was without the new other kid they had.
That's correct.
They got one. Yeah, like they got the Lawson kid after that.
Yeah,
so.
Christian Blair's like Kelvin.
So they should win state.
You get one game.
That's it.
That's it.
So they should win state, and you all are telling me Mike Miller will be coaching.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, he's the guy for you here.
Well,
I mean,
I say you
well,
all.
Well, it only became a conversation because somebody asked me about it, and I had I put it out there, and I'm like, well, I guess he's the coach, and then all these people started, you know, again, novice guy sitting on the throne at home, you know, just kind of going through Twitter, and like my phone blows up, and I'm like, you know, like. Giannato and a couple of people and reporters, various people, and they're like, no, Mike, we just had a report from him. He's coaching this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
I didn't mean to get in the middle of it. I apologize for that. I'm also one that doesn't want to take away from real reporters. Like, that is never – like, when you put that stuff out there, you look like an a-hole. It's like, right. Like what is Brad Carson putting out a report for?
Yeah,
that's stupid.
Now,
I'm not reporting. Like, I'm merely – I put out a tweet about the hype video for the Germantown team, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that knows Mike can tell you, I mean, that he's a guy that has a lot of different irons in the fire. You know,
well, and if I'm a kid, I'd like that staff – and I'd like that guy be my head coach. I don't give a crap if he's on Zoom and Dakota or what. So yeah. I think it's whatever. Like, I mean, look, it is what it is.
Here's what I'll say about this, and I don't want to dignify
what's
a lot of it.
Here is Mike the coach, and he's going to be the coach.
Yeah.
This
yes.
season.
So I mean, Mike is
he's the coach.
Be the coach after
he
this
is
season? The head coach.
Okay. Thank you.
He is the head coach.
Thank you.
You know, that's good.
Have their.
So I wasn't wrong on that.
No, I mean,
no, it looks like you were right.
Okay.
No,
the plan, plans can change and often do. Like, we'll see what happens. But the plan is for Mike to remain the coach through state and coach them. And because there's some stuff that's coming into play.
Look, he's a busy guy.
Mike's a volunteer coach. He's not even getting paid to do this.
Of course,
right? I mean, this is a service he's doing. Really?
Yeah. Germantown gets an NBA coach for free. Like what?
And all those kids on this team, right? All those kids on this team, you know, not named Mason or Maverick. I mean, they're getting a once in a lifetime opportunity to be coached at any level for any amount of time. You know, by a 2-time NBA champion. I mean, I don't understand the. I don't understand the controversy here. I don't, or the seeming expectation that he was supposed to do this.
Did I do
forever.
Something wrong? By the way, I mean, I'm asking that sincerely. Did I do something wrong in my
I don't think
zealousness
anything.
To get excited about the Houston?